Greetings and welcome once again to Grace Alive. It's good to have you tune in with us today, and we trust that you'll stay tuned for the next 30 minutes as we share together with you from God's Word. In just a few minutes, we will continue our series of studies on the topic Onesimus, a trophy of grace. We are preaching on the book of Philemon, Paul's last epistle, the shortest of his epistles. So if I want to take a moment now, get your Bibles and turn with us to the book of Philemon. And as you turn there, I'll remind you once again that you're watching Grace Alive. And at the end of the program, we'll give you complete information about how you can contact us here at Grace Alive if you have questions or comments about the program, or if you'd like to receive the audio or video cassette tapes, the CDs, or the DVDs. Just write to us, request it. We'll be glad to get them out to you with no cost or obligation. But right now, the book of Philemon. Philemon, verse 1. Paul is a prisoner of Jesus Christ and Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer, and to our beloved Appia and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in thy house. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Last week, we began a series of studies here in the book of Philemon, and we started by simply introducing ourselves to the people in the account. And we'll take just a moment to review who those people are. First of all, it's important that we understand the book of Philemon, while it's a very short book, it comes all the way at the end of Paul's epistles, but it is perhaps the book in his epistles that contains the most practical information about grace. And in this one little event and circumstance in the life of Paul and Philemon and Onesimus, we see a great truth, a great teaching about God's grace and about how God's grace functions to save us, about how God's grace functions in our daily lives, how we should live and walk and interact with one another based upon the grace of God. So let's just review for a moment who these people are. First of all, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ. Paul, of course, is the apostle of the Gentiles. He's the one that God saved, sent out to the Gentiles with a message of salvation and deliverance when the Gentiles under the kingdom program were ready to face God's wrath and judgment. God, instead of pouring out that wrath and judgment, saved a man named Saul, changed his name to Paul, sent him out with a message of grace and deliverance and forgiveness. That's who's writing to Philemon, a man uniquely qualified to understand God's grace, a man who had experienced God's grace as God reached down and instead of pouring out his wrath upon Saul, the chief of the rebellion against his people, he reached down to mercy and grace, and he saved his soul and gave him a message. So Paul understood God's grace. And in this account of Paul and Onesimus and Philemon, that's the real center of everything is God's grace. The second person in the account is Philemon. Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer. Philemon is a member of the church at Colossae. We saw last week that Philemon, Onesimus, and his family, and Onesimus, his servant, are all in the church at Colossae. Colossae is where they live. It's one of the places that Paul writes a letter to. The book of Colossians is written to those saints at Colossae. And Philemon apparently is certainly, seemingly, very involved in the local assembly there at Colossae. It is the church in his house. If you notice verse 2, our beloved Appia and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in thy house. It seems as though that those others listed are Philemon's wife and son, respectively. And the church in their house, it is in the house of Philemon that the local assembly in Colossae is meeting. So they're certainly very involved, knew Paul well. But Philemon, so therefore Philemon is a friend of Paul. He has known Paul for some time, it seems like, from the passage. He probably was saved under Paul's ministry, as we saw last week. So we have Paul, one who has known him for some time, Philemon. And finally down in verse 10, I beseech thee for my son Onesimus. The third person that we're going to talk to in this account in the book of Philemon is Onesimus. Onesimus also was a part of the household of Philemon, but Onesimus had left the household of Philemon. Onesimus was a servant of Philemon, not a blood member of the household, but a servant in the household of Philemon, and he leaves the household. We're going to see today that he ends up in Rome with Paul, but the bottom line is that he has left the household. He's become an unprofitable servant, and he's left the household of his master. So Philemon is the master of Onesimus. He's a friend of Paul, a long-standing friend. Onesimus is the unprofitable servant that has left his master, Philemon, and has come across Paul and Paul's ministry, and apparently, as we're going to see today, has been saved by the ministry of Paul. So I want to put these three men's names on the board again today. We had them on the board last week, but today, instead of just listing them, I'm going to spread them out a little bit, and you'll see why in a few moments, as today we begin to develop the relationship between these men. There is Philemon, as I mentioned, the master of Onesimus, and the good friend of Paul. Those are the two other men involved. Philemon is a good friend of Paul, has a good relationship with him, and Paul probably was responsible for Philemon's salvation. And then we have that unprofitable servant, Onesimus, the one who has left his master, who has fled from his master, hiding from his master as it were, and comes across Paul in Rome. So these are the three men, Philemon, Paul, and Onesimus, that we talked about last week. We know who each of them are. We know where they are. They're from, at least Onesimus and Philemon are, the city of Colossae. When we read the book, when we open up the book of Philemon, and when we compared it last week with Colossians, we see that Onesimus has actually been in Rome with Paul. Although Onesimus is from Colossae, where Philemon lives, after he left Philemon's household and left Colossae, he ends up in Rome where Paul is in prison. So, and the occasion of these books, both the epistle to Colossians and the epistle to Philemon, are that Tychicus, Tychicus does not figure in the account of these three men, except that he is the one that's carrying the epistle to the Colossians back to them from Rome, and Onesimus is accompanying him on this journey. So we have two men in Rome with Paul, Tychicus and Onesimus in Rome with Paul. They're traveling back to Colossae where Philemon lives. Tychicus is carrying one letter, the letter to the church at Colossae. Onesimus, perhaps, is carrying that other letter, the personal letter to Philemon, to be delivered to Philemon upon his arrival back in Colossae. Now, today we're going to look not just at the people, but what makes this account important and the story that it tells, the illustration, the type that it gives us of grace, is found not just in the people, but in the relationship between those people and in how those people relate to one another. So let's begin now to understand a little bit about their relationship. If we look in verse 10 of Philemon, verse 10 and 11, I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds, which in time past was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and to me. In verse 15, for perhaps he therefore departed for a season, that thou shouldest receive him forever, not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother beloved. So there is a relationship here between Philemon and Onesimus, a relationship that is certainly strained at best, we could say. In fact, there is a relationship between Philemon and Onesimus of alienation. There is little relationship between Philemon and Onesimus. There's alienation there. There's enmity between Philemon and Onesimus. Because Philemon has left, he departed for a season. During that season of departure, he has become an unprofitable servant to Philemon. And that certainly has built a wall of division between Philemon and Onesimus. And there is now alienation, there is now enmity between those two men. On the other hand, between Philemon and Paul, there's a very different situation. Between Philemon and Paul, there is partnership and there is fellowship. There's just the opposite of what's going on between Philemon and Onesimus, this alienation, this enmity, these hard feelings, are just the opposite with Philemon and Paul. With Philemon and Paul, notice with him, if you will, verse number 8, "Wherefore, though I might be much bold in Christ to enjoin thee that which is convenient, yet for love's sake I rather beseech thee, being such an one as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ." Paul talks about the fact that, you know, he could tell Philemon what to do, but instead, for love's sake, he beseeches him. If you notice in verse 4, "I thank God, making mention of thee always in my prayers, hearing of thy love and faith, which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints, that the communication of thy faith may be effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing that is in you in Christ Jesus. For we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother." You see, clearly Paul has a good feeling about Philemon. He says, "I thank God, I have a remembrance of you. I hear of your faith, I hear of your love. I have great joy and consolation in thy love. I take great joy and consolation in your love." So it's clear that Paul, in his relationship with Philemon, it's a close relationship. It's a friendship relationship. In fact, if you're looking for one word that would describe it, if you look over there to verse number 17, Paul says, "If thou count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself." If thou count me, Philemon, if you count me as a partner, receive Onesimus as myself. So the relationship between Paul and Philemon, the word he uses, partner, they're in a partnership. They are partners together. He talks about the fact, you know, he knows of their faith and love. He has great joy and consolation in thy love. The bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee. He appreciates the ministry of Philemon and his family to the church there at Colossae. And he says, you know, I'm your partner. We are partners in this thing. There's a great partnership between us. If you count me, therefore, as a partner. Notice in verse 22, "But withal, prepare me also a lodging, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be given unto you." If I get a chance to come to Colossae, I'd like to stay with you. Prepare me a lodging. I'm going to come stay. So it's clear, just from various little hints that you see through the book of Philemon, that Paul's relationship with Philemon is a very good one. Paul's relationship, he considers Philemon to be a partner in the ministry, a fellow laborer in the ministry. Onesimus is exactly the opposite. The relationship is strained. The relationship is almost non-existent. There's alienation, there's enmity, there's strife, there's probably bitterness on both of their parts. There had to be bitterness on Onesimus' part or he wouldn't have left. There has to be bitterness now on Philemon's part now that Onesimus has left and become an unprofitable servant. So the relationships are very different between Philemon and Onesimus and Philemon and Paul. And there's really nothing that can change that until something happens. And what's going to happen is that there's going to be a relationship between Paul and Onesimus. And once that relationship develops between Paul and Onesimus, it's going to change the whole face of this entire triangle of relationships. Notice what that relationship is down in verse number 10. The relationship between Paul and Onesimus.
Philemon chapter, or verse 10 rather. I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, who I've begotten in my bonds. I beseech thee for my son Onesimus. Now, Paul obviously here is not talking about a physical, biological son. Onesimus was not his son, biologically. But he is his son in the faith. I beseech you for my son Onesimus, which I have begotten in my bonds. One of the other ways that you know that he is a believer now, if you look at verse 16, not now, he's asking Philemon here to receive Onesimus, and he says, not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother beloved, especially to me. Paul calls him now a brother. He's a brother beloved, especially to me. Keep your hand right here in Philemon and go back to the book of Colossians. And if you remember, Onesimus is mentioned here in Colossians also, Colossians chapter 4, verse 9, with Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother who is one of you. Onesimus, again, he's called a faithful and beloved brother. So Paul is quite clear, Onesimus is a believer. So Onesimus has a relationship to Paul because he's become a believer. Because he's trusted Christ as his Savior, the relationship with Paul is even more intense and more close, because not only is Onesimus a brother, that is a fellow believer, but it is through Paul's ministry that he gets saved. I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds. So it's not just that Onesimus has become a believer. I mean, that certainly, that would change Paul's attitude about him and Paul's relationship with him, just the fact that he'd become a believer. But it also is the case that Paul had led Onesimus to the Lord, that he was Paul's son in the faith, that Paul had begotten him in his bond. We don't really know, we're not told, how Onesimus meets up with Paul. We know that Onesimus originally is with Philemon in Colossae. We know that at some time he ends up, he's left Philemon, he's left Colossae. He ends up in Rome where Paul is imprisoned. Now we're not told if he intentionally went to seek out Paul. You would almost assume that he knew about Paul, knew who he was. If he was a servant in the home of Philemon, and the home of Philemon was so well known to Paul and knew Paul so well, it's hard to believe that Onesimus would be there as a servant and not know something about Paul. But we're not told that specifically. It may be that he just was trying to run away. And, you know, oftentimes when people run away, they'll run to the big city, you know, New York or Chicago or Los Angeles or a big city, because you can kind of get lost in the shuffle in a big city. You know, in rural areas or small towns, it's hard to get lost. Everybody knows everybody. And if there's a stranger in town, they know he's there. But in the big city, you can lose yourself in the anonymity of that big city. And Rome, certainly the big city of their day. So perhaps Onesimus just ran away and ended up in Rome because he wanted to lose himself in Rome. And just it was happenstance that he came across Paul. But whatever the reason, whatever the circumstances, they're not revealed to us in Scripture, so we can't speculate about which it is. It's one or the other. Whatever those circumstances are, Onesimus and Paul develop a relationship. And they develop a relationship that is going to allow Paul to mediate. They have a relationship of mediation. That is, Paul is going to mediate the division between Philemon and Onesimus. But that couldn't happen until he had a relationship with each. See, he had a relationship with Philemon, and that was a long-standing relationship, but that really didn't do Onesimus any good, because Onesimus, you know, if he knew who Paul was, he didn't have any relationship with him. But once Paul establishes a relationship with Onesimus, now he can do something to bring those two together, to reconcile this alienation, this enmity that is between the two. And that's exactly what he does. Philemon, verse number 17. If thou count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself. See, he goes through these relationships. Verse 16, he says, talking about Onesimus, not now as a servant, but above a servant, a beloved brother, especially to me. He makes sure Philemon knows, Philemon, Onesimus now has a relationship with me. He's a beloved brother. And Philemon, verse 17, if thou count me therefore as a partner, so you know that you've been my partner for a long time. Now I'm telling you that Onesimus is a beloved brother of mine also. You receive him as myself. I'm sending Onesimus back to you, Philemon, with this letter. And I want you to receive him in the same way you would receive me, with open arms, as a partner, as a friend, as a beloved brother, because that's what Onesimus has become. Verse 18, if he hath wronged thee, or oweth thee aught, put that on mine account. I, Paul, have written it with mine own hand. I will repay it, albeit I do not say to thee how thou oughtest to, or thou owest unto me, even thine own self besides. Yea, brother, let me have joy of thee in the Lord. Refresh my bowels in the Lord. Having confidence in thy obedience, I wrote unto thee, knowing that thou wilt also do more than I say. Paul writes, and he says, Philemon, if Onesimus has wronged you in any way, if he oweth thee aught, if he owes you money, you charge it to my account. I will repay. Now, that, what Paul does in his ability to reach out to both of these men, is absolutely crucial, because it allows both men, Onesimus, there's no way that Onesimus can pay back Philemon. He's run away. He's become unprofitable. He can never pay him back. There's no way that Philemon can just say, oh, that's all right, let it go. Let's pretend it never happened. Philemon can't do that. But here's what they each can do. Onesimus can accept Paul's payment. Onesimus can say, wow, Paul, if you would pay that debt for me, that'd be great. And Philemon can accept Paul's payment. And you can say, well, you know, I didn't let Onesimus off. His debt was paid. On the other hand, Onesimus didn't have to pay it, but it was paid. You know what the key to that was? Paul's mediation. Paul could reach out with one hand to Philemon, with the other hand to Onesimus, and he could bring between those two men reconciliation. He could bring reconciliation between the master and the unprofitable servant. Without either, the master does not have to give up justice. That is, that servant left, he owes me. The master doesn't have to give up his justice. The servant doesn't have to pay back a debt he could never pay. And both are satisfied. The debt to the master is paid by Paul. Onesimus doesn't have to feel any guilt because his debt is paid in full by Paul. And Paul is the one that made it all happen because he could reach out to both and bring reconciliation between the two. And you say, well, that's a nice little story, but you know, what has that got to do with anything? Well, in that account, that little diagram that we just drew and those relationships, if you can understand that and the principles that are taught there, you can understand everything you need to understand about salvation in Christ Jesus. And you understand everything you need to understand about how to deal in grace with others. So the next 2 weeks, that's what we'll talk about. We'll take this same chart and we'll see how this teaches us about Christ and his sacrifice at Calvary and how it teaches us about how to deal and live in grace with others. So we trust that you'll tune in for those coming messages. And until then, we'd like to invite you to write to us here at Grace Alive with any questions or comments that you might have. Our address is Grace Alive, 743 Ridge Road, Fallen Timber, Pennsylvania, 16639. It's Grace Alive, 743 Ridge Road, Fallen Timber, Pennsylvania, 16639. Our web address, www.gracealive.org, and our toll-free phone number, 877-53-GRACE. We look forward to hearing from you this week. In any one of those ways, you can write to us, you can email us through the website, or you can call our toll-free phone number. And when you do, if you request the audio or video cassette tapes, the DVDs, or the CDs of this entire month's series of studies, we'll be glad to send them to you without any cost or obligation. Please just specify what format you prefer, and then the title of this month's series, Onesimus, A Trophy of Grace, or just any key part of that. If you remember the name Onesimus or Trophy of Grace, either one, we'll know what you mean. We'll get that out to you right away. And now, until next week, when we trust that you'll be tuning in again to Grace Alive, we also trust that God's grace will truly be alive in your life.